This is a CC Radio podcast.
Welcome to episode 222 of the Countdown Movie and TV Reviews podcast. There's going to be a couple balloon nuts sphincters in here today. Folks, my name is Wayne.
And my name is Paul. Welcome to the podcast. We count down movies and sometimes television in order of awesomeness so you don't have to. And Wayne has again alluded so subtly to what we're talking about today. And that is the top 10, well, we're calling it a number of different things, rectum clenching films.
Rectum clenchers.
Top 10 ass clenchers, as Lachlan Mills said online. But we're actually going with, for the purposes of Apple Podcasts, we're going with the top 10 suspenseful movies.
Right, but I'm going to totally put rectum on the title card somewhere. Which you won't see on Apple Cards.
You won't, fine. Because
see it on Facebook.
It will not get through the Apple podcast sensors, so we are playing it Nancy's. Smart. Aren't we, Wayne?
Smart. Yes, smart, sure.
Basically, Wayne, you weren't here for the weekend's review. That's right, it was Child's not. Play. Would you like to explain your absence?
Yes. Horror movies suck, and I don't want to watch them ever. So what I'm going to do is, I don't know. I just hate these fucking things. So I pleaded with Paul, basically. He said, look, man, we got to see this. I'm like, man, fuck you. I hate that shit. And also, I'm going to rag it just because it's not my shit. It's like, hey, Wayne, review eating shit. I'm like, well, I don't really do that. So you're not going to get a good review, even if it's good shit.
Anyway, Wayne could have summarized all that by just going, welcome back to the soundboard. Well, Paul.
Yeah, so Paul said, fine, I'll get someone else to do that. I'm like, sweet. Bye. And then I left.
Yeah, it was great to have Duty on from the Shaky Not Nerd podcast.
Thank you, man.
Please check them out as a thanks. And today, though, it's not a horror film, although there might be some horror films on the list today. You found them particularly suspenseful.
I think you'll be intrigued.
Yeah, it's a big, wide open topic, this one. So genres of all kinds could enter the fray. It should be
which should be, really.
Yeah, all right. The only other thing, really, at the top of the show in terms of an admin thing, is to acknowledge the winner of last week's show versus show returning format after a few months.
Was it us?
We had the New Zealanders on, Sam and Stacey Hurley, who were good enough to join us to count to the top 10 movie parents.
Nice
and
work.
Yes, and our home court advantage has returned after we were soundly beaten by IMDb Journey Podcast earlier in the year.
We're still checking into the election results on that one. Then China could have been involved. We're not sure.
China.
But
Wayne pressing approve was definitely involved.
I told you Asia, all right?
No, in terms of these results, it ended up being 32 votes to us, 13 votes to New Zealand, which means twice this weekend they've taken an absolute rogering.
Oh, what happened? Did the sport ball thing happen?
We won the World Cup game last night as well. So, okay. No, in all seriousness, thank you to the Hurleys for coming, especially to Stacey, who is very heavily pregnant and now is only a couple of weeks away from having a baby daughter.
Very exciting.
So all the very best to you both for that. And thanks again for coming on. Movie watching challenge to see who can be... between Daniel Henderson from the IMDb Journey podcast and I, it's coming right down.
What's going on, you crazy fuck? What's going on?
We both had a big week. Daniel's still on holidays. Me basically dedicating every second of my life to that's not
pussy
at work or dealing with essential family. In fact, the family's on board. Both partner and Daniel are watching
Dad's
movies with
going
me.
Away for a while.
No, they're watching movies with me left, right, center. All right, that's good. At very little of complaint these days. Because I just want it done. And I will now say confidently within 2 weeks, this thing will be finished. I am 450 films.
Oh, what a fucking fuck.
At last check, Daniel was 380. So I've got that pretty solid buffer. That said, I'm away next weekend. So you can catch up a bit there, but not enough. Surely I'm home and hosed now. We've also decided if you are the second behind my good self in terms of finishing this challenge, we are going to send you a Countdown Movie and TV Reviews t-shirt. That's right. We have merchandise. I haven't mentioned for about 2 years on the show.
Yeah, we got a little merchandise.
Yeah, and we've made about $0 in that last 2 years.
Yeah, look, I'm thinking about making it coffee mugs because that'll be
coffee
fun.
Mugs. Okay. So if you prefer a couple of coffee mugs rather than a t-shirt, you can have that too. Maybe get it both. We get both.
Yeah.
If Wayne gets his ass into gear and makes it, you can have a coffee mug.
Absolutely.
And
but at the very least, a t-shirt. Absolutely.
Yeah. Wayne's been busy making a YouTube video for about 8 months.
I know.
Now.
I'm really shit at it. Sorry, guys.
I think he gave me a guarantee of 14 days ago. It'll be done in 14 days. How's it going, Wayne?
Great. Remember 14 days?
Anyway,
we have to,
my point is,
I'm shit.
Keep drinking your coffee out of your own mug. That's it for the preamble then. On the other side of this music cue, let's get into it then. The top 10 rectum clenchers.
Rectum.
Dynamite drop in money at broadcast school has really paid off.
The top 10 rectum glitchers.
That was pretty good.
Is your topic for this week's countdown. And Wayne, how did you go about making this list? Was it a tough one? Was it an easy one?
Really, really difficult, okay? Because lots of movies are suspenseful. And in fact, that's probably the thing I find good about them if they're not funny. Like, if they make me like, ooh, what the fuck? Okay,
so it was a big pool to draw from.
Huge pool. And I'm trying to get away from your standard thrillers. Like, but I didn't really. I got kind
well,
of like...
By definition in nature, a thriller should be the most suspenseful. But that's it. I have films that cross into horror on my list. I have
Me too, believe film, it or not.
Oh, jeez. Yeah, mostly I would say those are the two genres that are most represented in mine.
Yeah, there could be interchangeable ones here and there. But the truth is, these are almost like the 10 I want to talk about. that are also the best, all among the best. But you could argue others.
And there's a couple of very familiar directors on my list, I have to say.
Sure.
We spoke about not that long ago in a versus episode.
I was thinking I actually avoided some of those because I already talked about them.
Yeah. And also a couple of very new films on my list as well.
No, that's cool.
So, yeah, it should be interesting. Why don't you lead us away then? Your number 10. Most suspenseful / rectum clenching / anal cleansing?
Sphincter slanging. Yeah, okay.
I guess you shit yourself. That makes sense.
Yeah, so shitty. Yeah. My number 10 was... Are you ready for this?
Oh, hang on. I'll get to the right soundboard page.
Please.
Now I'm ready for this.
Here we go. The Descent.
What?
Inconceivable.
Yeah, that's right. So any one of our Patreons knows that recently Paul and Jared railroaded me. Actually, the rest of you too, you all voted for it.
The Facebook listener community voted.
Yes.
Almost to a person. There was like 3 or 4 souls and you who were like, no, don't make watch this. Don't be mean.
Well, yes, I was made to watch The Descent, which is an horror movie that Paul enjoys and Jared also enjoys. Went to his sweet ass place in like his hood and he has like a theater in his house.
Very, very, very nice setup.
Very fly. I jumped quite a bit, but for this movie here, it's about 4 girls who go down spelunking.
6 girls.
6 girls who go down spelunking. Is it 6? Oh, yeah, right, there was 6. They just ended up being less, if you know what I'm saying.
Sure.
And they go down there, they get trapped, and it turns out there's fucking monsters down there and shit, all right? And it's quite the claustrophobic bit of a gut-wrencher, actually. We were sitting there on that big screen. Even Jared said, oh, I don't like this part, because it's really, it feels like everything's closed down on you. And if you're at all claustrophobic, which I'm pretty sure I am,
now you are.
Now I am. I had some problems with it. And the truth is, I didn't actually, like, because it's all underground, you never stop feeling that shit's about to go down, which means it's quite suspenseful.
No pun intended.
Yeah, exactly. Coming up, going down. Yeah. So, I actually think that this one is, look, I would never watch this on my own. But as it happens, it's quite a good example of, like, suspense as hell. Motherfucking.
And if you want to hear Wayne's live reaction to that, you can join our Patreon, and the link is in the show notes, and there's a whole sort of 7-8 minutes dedicated to where we had a mobile recording going and just checking with Wayne every so often during his viewing of the film.
God.
But a good pick, and not on my list, surprisingly enough.
No, it's probably, so many. There's so
probably
many.
Should have been, but yeah, as you said, it was being a sport for choice type countdown. Maybe the brief was too wide. My number 10, though, is a Denis Villeneuve film, one which I think you dig and saw a lot later than I actually saw it. It's from 2013. It is Prisoners.
Dude, it's on my list.
Oh, damn.
Prisoners is the shit.
Prisoners is a very, very good film. Very hard film to watch, especially as a parent.
Oh, yeah.
Which is probably why it snuck in on my list at 153 minutes long. It certainly takes its time. And within the first 20 minutes, Hugh Jackman's daughter is kidnapped.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And as the father of a daughter, that is just heinous to begin with.
Oh, yeah.
And I would have watched this right around the time she was born, so...
Not good. Yeah. Not good. You're already thinking bad shit because that's how humans are.
Which is why it probably made such an impression. And then it's him. He thinks he works out who it is. He takes this intellectually handicapped individual, kidnaps him, basically, and starts torturing him because he thinks it's this kid.
Yeah, and the whole time...
I say kid, it's Paul Dano. Paul Dano, and he's, so what whatever. Is he, 30 years old, whatever. Yeah. But because he's...
Youngish
he's,
man, yeah.
He plays younger because he's handicapped. And then, meanwhile, Jake Gyllenhaal is the detective who's actually assigned to the case and he thinks there might be some vigilante justice going on. So all that's playing out. Plus, and will the daughter be rescued?
That's right.
And then, oh my God.
And Hugh Jackman doesn't even want to do any of this shit. He's just doing it because he hasn't got a choice. He has to get his daughter.
He doesn't want to do it, but he's much more down for it than Terrence Howard is.
Who... Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Because it's exactly, yeah. But he's, yeah, there's probably an element of that. But like, again, you said you can sort of, you get it. And it just doesn't let go of this movie. Like, I think it's like the shit. It's from the second it's there to the very end, like the final scene. You're wondering shit. So I think that's, yeah, it's a good, it's way higher.
That's true. The film does leave it on a certain point.
Weird thing about this film, I have actually seen it a couple times, three times, and each time I'm
three
actually,
times?
Yeah, three Damn. Times. Because one time I didn't know what it was, and the second time again. I
didn't know what it was.
Yeah, I did. I was sitting there going, I watched it.
What's this prisoners thing?
No, it was. I remember watching it. I can't remember why, but it was on, and then I just caught it.
Show about a whole bunch of women who've been put it behind bars.
Well, the weird thing, I forgot that I'd seen it before until after the second time I'd seen it. So each time I was like, ooh, what's going to happen next?
I say this with respect and as your friend.
Yes.
Drugs are bad.
I know, motherfucker. I just said. Do you notice I was like this before? So, all right. Prisoners, good call.
That's my 10.
Nice one. My number 9, this you may not consider quintessentially a suspense film, but I found it a suspense Agatha Christie-style movie, and it's, in fact, The Hateful Eight.
Oh.
Yep.
Really?
Yes. Do you know that when... I was trying to figure out what I liked about this show, because I saw it again as well recently. They're very long movies, so I can't see them over and over. But this...
Especially not if you're in a movie-watching challenge.
No way. That'd be like 7 or your movies.
It will take.
Yeah. So... Because it's the whole Quentin Tarantino thing, fine, you're assuming violence is that, whatever. But when they're actually all in the house together and it becomes like a whodunit, I remember long after I'd seen it, that was the thing I liked about it. The fact that it was, we didn't know what was going on. And then at the end, it turns out the whole time there was something else afoot. But that also wasn't like on the cards for me. This was a cowboy movie that became like that. I just found it, the suspense was the thing I liked about it. So it's number 9 on my list.
Okay, well, a little surprising, have to admit, but...
I know, it's that's the thing. I was trying to go for not typically a suspense thriller, but this thing, suspenseful, big time.
Okay, yep.
For me.
I guess when I'm on board with a Tarantino film,
I think
quite a few lists had Reservoir Dogs on it. Not on my list.
That would have gone with me, except it was just that one scene that was suspenseful for me as opposed to the whole film. Whereas this one here...
The whole film.
As soon as they got in. I mean, look, it does take a while.
Take about an hour to get in.
Yeah, you're right. Once as soon as they get in. So the most of the film, shall we say.
Fair enough. My number 9, not at all similar. In fact, it's a film you've never seen and never shall, because I would never recommend it to you. It's a French film. I've spoken about it before.
Mm.
It is Martyrs from 2008, directed by Pascal Laguerre.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to keep making up French names. I don't care.
Just hit the middle note.
Basically, it's a film which follows a family who are going about their normal day, and then two women break in, and one of them starts gunning them down with a shotgun.
Oh, yeah. I remember this one.
Yeah, and it turns out that she believes the dad and the mum, by proxy, were involved in her kidnapping and torture as a child as part of this secret organization for whatever weird reasons. Events continue along and shit goes really, really south.
This sounds really horrible.
It was high on my list of most disturbing films of all time.
Yep.
The opening's so like, what the fuck, what the fuck, what the fuck? And you're like, kind of barely can catch your breath, let alone unclench your ass.
Oh, God. Yeah, I'll never see that one, so I believe you.
No, so we're just going to move right along then into your number 8.
My number 8 is a fan favorite. It is Inception. Yep. So, in case no one knows, that's the sound from the movie that's famous.
No one knows. That was perfect.
I'm sure. Yeah, I'm sure. Okay, so rather than talk about everything that everyone has seen about this, the basic real deal about making this suspenseful is that on paper it should not work because it's way complex, very high-minded, doesn't wrap anything up in a bow, and it still doesn't give you a clean ending. But it's the way Nolan shoots this damn thing. Any studio head wouldn't have made this film, but just like Christopher Nolan does, he's too busy entertaining you. Even after the movie was over, I didn't know what was going on, but I remember being on the edge of my seat, probably mostly at that scene when Joseph Gordon-Levitt was floating in the air.
Yeah, when everything's turning because the car's gone off.
And I remember thinking to myself, holy shit, because that was when it was all, he's got to get there in time, he's got to put those people under that shaft and all this sort of shit. Man, all the dream sequence crap that you have in this, I think it was probably that was not confusing but perplexing, and that's why you're struggling to understand it and you're chasing after the film the whole time, but again, you're still entertained, so now it's suspense.
Mm.
That's why I think it's the shit. I know, seemingly obvious choice, the only one on my list though.
Not on my list, but I can totally understand why.
Yeah. It is
on yours, and I don't know. It's one of my favorite films of all time,
It really is.
Do I find it suspenseful? Yes. I just appreciate so much more about them than just the suspense.
I think it's the pace as well.
The pacing's great. The complexity, the ideas.
Well, it's just like...
It's all there. So I guess that's why I didn't consider it, because it's, for me, and clearly for you too, it's just much more multi-layered than just how suspenseful that the heist sequence is.
Agree. It's a feature of the film rather than the film itself. But the fact that it's like, well, here's one sequence and then bam, it's another way. Bam, it's another way. Bam, it's another way. Like, holy shit. You know, that's what kept me on edge.
Sure.
So, yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, from one Christopher Nolan film to another, and therefore my third French filmmaker in a row, Christopher Nolan.
What the fuck?
No, Christopher Nolan. I'm going with, however, Memento.
Yeah, I wondered if you... Because Memento is the shit, no doubt. Go on.
And it's a different, completely different kind of film than Inception. It's much more small scale. It's just about a guy who's got anterograde amnesia. He can't form new memories. And he's trying to puzzle through who killed his wife.
Yep.
Joe Pantoliano's in it. And Carrie Ann Moss is in it. And the film kind of marches in two different narrative directions until you finally reveals what the hell's going on. And the whole time you're like, what the fuck, what the fuck, what the fuck? At least I was.
I think you're right. Like you said, it's smaller scale. Inception felt suspenseful. That was the mood of the film. I was uneasy. Whereas Memento, you're like, what the fuck's going on here? Because it's sort of getting told sideways, backwards, or whatever. It was, by nature of its format, unsettling. Mm-hmm. And I get why you would totally... I'm sure a lot of people would agree with you. I do.
Yeah. Very suspenseful for me. Very... Hold your breath, but I can understand why other people are like,
because it's such a local story. It's like this guy chasing these guys. It's not like Inception. This is the whole fucking your
the whole world. It potentially changes. Yeah. Yes. Well, literally in the film, but it has world changing implications. Whereas this is just a very personal story.
Exactly. But still the shit. No doubt. That's good stuff. My number seven is Gravity.
Well, sir.
Oh.
How dare you steal my thunder completely, because my number seven is Gravity.
Oh, I didn't know how you'd feel about this.
No, that is totally suspenseful.
Well,
incredibly directed by French filmmaker Alphonse Cuarón.
That's actually kind of offensive. This guy's actually Mexican or something.
Clearly, I know this.
Oh, God. Okay. Well, I actually have to say Gravity was one of the most intense cinematic experiences I've ever had. When I was in the movies, anyone who's seen this can vouch for all like the tension and that sort of stuff. But even from the start where George Clooney is like just cruising around space in his astronaut suit, I was already like, holy shit, he's just floating in space. And the whole vastness of space has always freaked me out. The idea that you could float away and there's nothing around you until you die, that's always bugged the shit out of me and getting flushed out there. Because it's not like you're even, you know, anywhere on Earth where you could, I don't know, look for water. You're in space, bitch. You're done. You're done.
So Wayne is frightened by his insignificance against the vastness.
Completely. Right. Completely. And so whenever, like, Sandy Bullock runs into some shit, like, you know, there's like a fucking, some shit blows up with a debris storm or something else is about to go down, I always want to ass cheek off the seat the whole time. Because it scared me to start with, and then just, I don't know, I really wanted her to survive, and I was very upset that George Clooney did not.
This film is 91 taut, tight minutes.
Is it only that? Yeah, that's probably why it's so
really
good as well.
Short, and it has, at one stage I was talking about this film was going to be an unbroken shot the whole way through, but it wasn't quite like that, but I think there's like two or three 17 minute shots in there, including the opening destruction of the space station that they're working on, which is just phenomenal. Yeah. So already you're like... Oh my God, what am I looking
at? And you're there
because
this is your head whipping around. Yeah.
And then, yeah, you really get invested in Sandra Bullock's character's chances of survival in what was practically an impossible scenario. So I think it's brilliant. I will love it. Alfonso Cuarón again.
The only thing I ever had a problem with about Gravity was that Sandy Bullock is a reluctant astronaut. You know that doesn't exist. You don't get to be an astronaut unless it was the thing you dreamed about as a child.
Yeah, that's a narrative choice that they made.
But you know what? It didn't hurt it at all for me. This movie is amazing.
Well, it probably did for me. It's not the perfect film, and that probably is a large part of why it's not the perfect film. But for what it was pretty incredible.
That guy's just the bomb. Like there's some above the fucking field filmmakers. Cuarón is like that.
Did you ever see Roma?
Oh, except for that. I wish you lots of people love that movie.
All right, well, that's my and your seven, so your six, sir.
My number six is A Quiet Place.
Oh, dear me.
Oh, no, really?
Dear me.
Is it too low?
How are we going to do this one
Paul's
today?
Paul's about to do low, and it's going to suck, so I'm just going to keep
low,
going.
Low, low, low.
What the fuck?
Low, 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 low.
I don't even know if that's
low,
like a Run DMC
low.
Low,
low, low, low, low.
What the fuck is that?
For fuck, for fuck.
He's doing a Rage Against the Machine, which goes, for fuck, for fuck, for fuck, for fuck, for fuck. I hate that fucking song. These dickheads used to like it when they were kids.
Which is why. I still like that song. The song's amazing.
Piece of shit.
Which is why I use it, because I'm so pissed off with your at six, motherfucker.
Well, I this is one of those films that I did not see, but ended up doing so at Paul's insistence. It is probably in the idea of a silent-ish movie or a movie where silence is very key is not a new concept at all.
dates back to about the 20s.
Yes, where they had silent movies. No, this is where the silence is a feature of the film. But why this one became the shit is that I think it's that the story and characters are particularly strong. I actually care about what happens to these folks. But more than that, we'd have to say the bathtub scene in a sort of the centerpiece like scene where she's giving birth and cannot make noise because monsters will kill everyone. I actually was surprised how into that scene I was. How like holy shit, I was freaked out.
It's very well made. John Krasinski directing.
He's got a sensitivity that made it about sort of like almost sweet or something. The movie. It's not just a horror movie. That's why I liked it.
Well, you genuinely care about these characters and how they care about themselves. It establishes a very lifting world again in a very short amount of time. You put Inception on your list and there are some longer films on mine.
But yeah.
Films that tend to ratchet up the tension and hold it often are shorter.
Yes, because it's more in a smaller space.
Because it's harder to maintain that, that degree of intensity. So,
I think
phenomenal film. Woefully low on your list. In fact,
you're mocking me, aren't you?
I always am, but not about this. I heard that he intentionally hired a hearing impaired girl to play his daughter. The authenticity was there and stuff. And
makes more sense.
Very, very cool. It was just, the whole thing. I bought the whole thing.
Wonderful choice. Great film. Surely everyone who is interested has seen it by now, but if you haven't, do check it out. Right, well, my number six is not quite appropriately enough named Seven.
That's my number five.
Oh, shit. Again, by French filmmaker extraordinaire David Fincher.
Okay, let's just see if we can keep this one going.
I think it's running out of steam.
I think it ran out of steam, bitch.
But I'm having fun with it. It starts out as a pretty straightforward police detective.
So it does. Looks like a procedural. Absolutely.
It's darker sensibility. There is obviously some sadistic elements to these crimes. Ugh. But as the film goes, the tension just gets higher and higher and higher until you get one of the great all-time film endings. The final scene of this film is up there among the level best. In fact, we should do that as a countdown. The top 10 final scenes. In a film.
Yeah, probably. I mean, it'd be Spoiler City, but absolutely.
There would be Spoiler City.
But I agree. I don't know what... probably the whole the Seven Sins thing, where there's gluttony and this and that, and you know there's more coming up, makes it like how... You know you're going to get to Seven. So you know that this movie...
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
Because it wasn't the first one. Like, that was just horrible that they made the guy eat and all sort of shit, right? And that was just like the least bad one. It just got worse and worse up to there. And then, boom, this shit goes down. I reckon... Yeah, it wasn't his first film at all, was it?
No, Alien 3 was his first film.
Okay. So kind of his first film.
I think it's his next film. It's only 2 years later, three years later? Yeah.
You know the end of this, John Doe has the upper hand, that thing, right? Mm-hmm. I had never seen anything like that when it came out. I remember that, just going...
Yeah, we don't have to talk about spoilers. If you haven't seen fucking Seven in 24 years, you don't give a shit enough.
Yeah. So yeah, that's all I had to say about it.
You don't want to say more? Okay, well, fine. It's but on both our lists. It's clearly a big, big choice.
There you are.
That was my six,
and that was my
your
five.
So back to me for my five. The newest film on my list, a film we saw this year, which not many people have seen, so I will not talk spoilers in this particular case. It's Hotel Mumbai.
Damn it! It's on my list too, bitch.
Oh, shit. Wow, given all these choices, we are crossing up some significant amount. I thought that was going to be no one, not one listener mentioned. Oh, no, maybe.
No, someone
Blake Jarvis did. I think thank you, Blake. It was on my radar in any case, but once he mentioned it, I'm like, yep, you're right. It absolutely was. And that was a feature of our review back in February, March, that it was just so intense. And the fact that it was based on real events makes it that much more harrowing, that much more suspenseful. And probably would even go higher on my list, wherever it is, possibly on yours.
Yeah.
If not for the fact that I had this horrible woman with her fucking phone out the entire time in my eye line while I was watching the film.
Well, the reason it was higher on my list is that it didn't help that I saw this film in the same weekend as the New Zealand shootings.
That's right. That was awful.
So it was so harrowing.
It dropped off the face of the earth. Extra quickly because
of
this.
And there's like, God, it's the worst opening ever. And I think probably as well, what was the worst feature that made it suspenseful is that these, the killers or whatever, were just dead-faced when they did it. They just pulled the gun out of the bag and started shooting everyone. And it didn't end like a Hollywood movie at all.
Not at all. In fact, there wasn't almost
there was no Hollywood element. No Hollywood it was scenes. Just, this is what happened. Boom.
And that was hard to stomach at the time.
It was.
It's like, well, can we just...
Can someone get real? Nope, that's not what happens in real
can
life.
Can they get their comeuppance at this point, please? You know, yep, and I'm totally. Not, again, without spoiling the end of the film. Yeah, obviously all the attackers, we know what happened in real life. As a matter of fact, I won't mention it here, but it doesn't go down the way you think it will.
Absolutely. And all the people that you think would be, you know, the mains, the leads of this, and it just doesn't go the way you think it will. So yeah, nuts-ass movie, people. Hotel Mumbai. See it if you want to get depressed.
Okay, yeah. 100% agree. So much. It's on my list too. So that's my five.
My number five is the real Denis Villeneuve vehicle that should have been on here, Sicario.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lots of people had it on their list.
I know that you, I like
it. I wanted to, but then I'm like, no, that's not being true to myself because I didn't like it more than these 10 films.
Yeah, I know. And I did. I was like, and it's not just the you know, crossing the border scene where basically the freeway.
If we were talking scenes?
Scenes, that would be it.
Yes, it would
scenes,
be it.
That would
for
be
me.
It. Yep. And the dog barking stuff, that was all good. But it wasn't just that. From the very beginning of the film, the FBI agents or the TAC team or whatever are casing this drug joint. Shit goes down real bad, and from then on, you know that anything could happen in this movie. And then the way it's filmed, even to the just I don't know the way he shoots and stuff, you're somehow never back off edge. Like you're just it's a everything's a little bit what's behind that corner, what's behind that bus. That's why this whole movie for me was like suspenseful. So
yeah, I can't argue. I think lots and lots of people agree with you there. Yeah. I don't know what it was. It's a film I definitely should rewatch.
I think so. And
I think the buzz was so high about this movie and everyone loved it so hard. By the time we saw it, I'm like, oh yeah.
Oh really?
It was good.
Damn it. That stuff is such a hard, you know, and the second one, I liked the second one. The
second one's fine.
And then I saw it again.
It's not as good.
It didn't hold, it's not as good as the first one, but it was pretty good. I thought it was pretty good.
Like most films, you got to be in the right headspace for whatever you're going to watch.
Absolutely. And that's tough.
Yeah. If you're not up for it, and I think maybe I was in the right headspace for Sicario 2. So my initial viewing, I liked it. Not more than the first one, but I liked it as much.
Yeah, yeah.
And then second time, what I've seen again, I'm like, no, what am I talking about? It's not even close, not a patch.
I reckon definitely check that one again. There you go, you can watch it. Oh, it's too long.
It was too long. I got to power through to finish up after 2 weeks' time. All right, well, my number four is another David Fincher film. And this one is a film where you just don't know what's going on all the way through until the end.
Yeah, which one?
The Game.
Dude! Oh my God. The Game fell off my list.
Oh, dear
it
me.
It was supposed to be on here.
Oh, no.
God damn it. All right, fine.
Could that be a game saving or game winning move?
Changing is the joke I would have gone with, but all right.
Either way.
The Game is the shit, son. The Game is the shit.
It's so the shit that Wayne had it at 11 or lower.
No, here's what it was. I compiled my list and it was late. And it
you're
just
mocking me,
off.
Aren't you?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, here it is in honorable
mention. Okay, it's a hell of a drug.
Yeah, fair enough. Shit. Yeah, okay, good. The Game, please. Tell a brother what The Game is.
So Michael Douglas is a CEO of a company, whatever he is.
He is. He's an investment banker.
He's a very well-off individual who basically everyone doesn't know what to buy him for his birthday. So his brother, Sean Penn, employs his company to give him the ultimate lived-in experience of The Game. And again, we're talking a film from 1997, so I think it's the next film after Seven that David Fincher did.
Yeah.
And
it's winning, man.
This
winning.
Film, all the way, like, it takes a little while to get going, but once it does, like, you're just not sure what's real and what's not, what's part of the game, what isn't. And
it's
it certainly
great.
Ends up seeming like that this company is a shadowy organization that's designed to just destroy your life and steal everything from you.
Yep. The way that it goes and the way that it's put together, it's just way entertaining. Michael Douglas has all kinds of dad issues and shit. And
therefore, so does Sean Penn.
Yeah, and the way that it ends is like, I don't know, they actually show you how they kind of engineered this ending on the way that it should go down. And it was really, really cool the whole way along. And again, you don't know anything, like Paul said, until the end. And even then, you're like, what the fuck was that again? You know, that kind of good shit, but executed beautifully.
Yeah, and it might not hold up to, like, oh, does it all work out when you know the ending, but it holds up well enough.
I actually think that one of the reasons, it's one of my favorite films, right? For real.
11th favorite.
No, I just forgot how to put it. I don't know how it fell off. This shit happens sometimes, people. It's enjoyable to watch. You're actually having a good time seeing what's happening. I don't know how to explain it. It's just a good director puts scenes together that are pleasing to your eye and your soul. So that's what this is.
Okay, cool. You're number three, sir.
My number three is a largely unknown film that I have mentioned before, but I really think everyone in the universe should check it out. It's called Running Scared. And it is a Paul Walker and Vera Farmiga movie. That's right. I think this is an excellent
in your dinner direction.
This movie is an unsung
sleeper. It's a good
sleeper.
Film. But this high on the rectum clenching list?
Dude, let me tell you about this goddamn movie, everyone. It stars Paul Walker in absolutely the best role of his life with Vera Farmiga, Chaz Palminteri. And it's about this low-ranking like thug, Paul Walker, who's entrusted by the crime boss to dispose of this gun that killed a bunch of cops, right? So he does that. He hides the gun, but then his kid and his kid's friend, they see where he stashes it, steal it, and then the entire film doesn't ever stop right until the end. Paul Walker and his wife, who's just a normal like person, not a gangster or anything, they run the gauntlet of running in through this movie one day. They run into every type of criminal, from hitmen to pimps to child molesters to gang bosses. And there are scenes like in a hockey rink where a crime boss has his hockey stars slam like pucks at Paul Walker's teeth. It's a real harsh ass, but very suspenseful film. You don't actually get a moment to sit down. And even Vera Farmiga actually goes on her own separate thing that happens, and she does some real badass shit. There's one of the pleasures of the movie is how supporting characters are given big scenes all of their own, and they're just as exciting as the main lead thing. So very, very badass. Running Scared. It's like a, I don't know what year it is. Gotta be the early aughts, right?
Sounds about right.
Yeah. So, but I totally stand behind this, guys. Running Scared is a sleeper. Should have been a hit. Don't know why it didn't work out. But
there
it's
you go.
Killer. It's killer.
That's why he's getting it's right killer. Behind his choice.
I'm telling you.
Instead of one of his favorite films, The Game. Okay. Yeah, look, it's a good film. I agree. My number three is a film which puts children or a child in danger. And This is back before I had kids. I saw this movie a long way before I had kids. And I think it does this exceptionally well because it's creepy as fuck. There are some legitimately scary scenes in it. It's the first arguable thriller / horror on my list, if you don't consider Seven a horror. And I personally don't.
Yeah.
It's The Sixth Sense.
Ooh.
Yeah, this film was really edgy.
Wait a minute. Really?
Me. Yeah.
I was thinking the whole time with this one, because I was reviewing it as well, I'm like, was The Sixth Sense suspenseful or was it just a good ending? But I guess the whole time you're wondering whether the kid is actually nuts or seeing ghosts, or are they ghosts?
Well, no, in my head, he's seeing ghosts. I think the film makes that deal with you very early on that this is real. It's just that no one else believes him.
Yeah, and then the Bruce Willis. Yeah, you're right. Then it's that's why the movie fooled you, because the whole time you think it's a ghost story, and it turns out it's the ultimate ghost story, because he was chilling with one the whole time.
But it's just creepy ass, and how is he going to get past this, and the poor kid and his mom, played by Toni Collette.
Yeah,
and
she kills that. Yeah. Okay, fair enough. You're right. Yep, not bad.
Now, if you knew the ending, which one of our mates did, then obviously the film would suck. But if you didn't, far less suspenseful, because like anything, if you know the ending and how it all plays out,
especially if that's the hinge that the movie like banks on, absolutely.
Unless it's a true story like Hotel Mumbai, where they managed to put in fictional characters, so you just don't know what their fates are going to be.
Yeah.
And then that's a clever way of getting around that problem.
Mm. Okay, good one. My number two was where I put Prisoners, son. That's how high mine went. Yeah, I'm telling you.
Oh, damn.
Hey, I guess I am a Jake Gyllenhaal fan.
So high.
Yeah, because I don't know. Like, it's one of the things.
Sorry, Adam Sandler.
Is that what you were doing?
I don't know. I don't know. I just realized.
I actually didn't mind it. I didn't
no
mind
one
it.
Should channel Adam Sandler. No one.
What? No.
He, a slap on the wrist
there
myself.
Was a time where Adam Sandler was doing very
that,
well.
That time was 25 years ago. In fact, he's doing very well now, just not putting out entertaining.
Have you seen his Netflix
mystery movie? Yeah.
You saw it?
Of course I have.
Is it any good?
No.
Ah,
it's fine.
I like Rizzo.
It's not even
friends.
Fine. It's okay.
Okay.
It's 2 stars.
Oh, shit. Mm. Oh, it is your 2 stars.
Yes,
so
my
3. 2 stars.
So.
All right.
So 3. What about it? Poor adjustment. Add 1 star.
That's right.
All right. So my number 2 is, of course, the greatest horror film of all time, the greatest suspense film of all time, one of the greatest sci-fi films of all time, is John Carpenter's The Thing.
Of course
I couldn't not put it on here.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's not just that one scene where they were doing the blood testing. It's
the whole one I think of course.
Once you get 20 minutes into the film, once you know there's something weird about this dog that comes on, and the dog's face explodes open and this creature comes out of it. After that, it's just like the whole way through the movie, right up to again. And there's something obviously about suspense and ambiguous endings, because quite a few of our films have that.
Yeah.
We get another somewhat ambiguous ending, though. To me, it's pretty obvious. Everyone dies.
Really?
Yeah. No one's coming to rescue them. I don't care what a comic says. 20 years later.
But what if, like, just for a moment, so Kurt Russell and the other dude, they're sitting there,
Keith
and
David.
We sit here for a while. Okay, yeah. So, and if it's one of them, let's say it's Keith David.
Yep.
Because in my head, if it's going to be anyone, it's going to be Keith David.
Can't be the hero for Wayne. Yep.
Well, the hero would know, and then he would Stop. I don't know.
What? He can't over... He's not the hero anymore. He's the thing. That's the whole point.
But if he was the thing, he would have just torched Keith David. There wouldn't be no sitting down having a chill kind of shit.
The thing would also be obviously intelligent enough to know it's one and you can to take its time and enjoy this moment.
Oh, so the thing now is like a pervert? Okay.
Perverted. It's like, I've won. I'm relaxing. I'm basking this. This guy can just freeze to death and I want to freeze to death and it's all good.
He wants to freeze? Is that what the thing does?
What I said, he can just freeze again in the ice and wait till it gets found till the rescue team arrives.
Oh my God, what a horrible... Yeah, you're right.
This film is phenomenal, and I don't need to sing its praises anymore. It's number two for a reason.
Okay.
It's incredibly suspenseful.
Just thinking about the internet. All right, people, my number one is a movie that also Paul put me onto. And
what?
It's totally not what you expect, because it's a fucking Korean film. It's The Chaser.
Really?
Yes, it is.
This came from one of our listeners who put us both on to watch it.
Yes, it was. Actually. It was. I can't remember. Sorry, I can't remember your name. But The Chaser is a 2008...
I am... shocked.
Oh, dude, I had a lot of problems with this film that I didn't tell you about. Not problems in terms of it affected me. 2008
Can I just make one request?
Please.
One soundboard.
Please.
Take it back!
This is not the most suspenseful film of all time.
Absolutely buggered the shit out of me. Let me tell you why, though, okay? It's about a disgraced ex-policeman who runs a small ring of prostitutes who must, and he has to find this guy who's killing all his call girls. So it's tense, it's really brutal, and it was inspired by a real serial killer. Now, the reason it's number one on my list is that, possibly because of the fact that it was a foreign film, I expected a fairly run-of-the-mill thriller. Like, and being a foreign film, those things rarely surprise me. Okay, they just don't. Because some of them are like, I don't know, I won't rag on foreign films, but it's not necessarily my jam. But this one is purposefully nothing like an American movie. It is anything but. The lead protagonist is flawed, and that's not uncommon, but in this film, his flaw doesn't necessarily have an arc that makes him a better person at the end. He just gets more fucked up, like life. The principal chase scene involves like this foot race through these narrow nighttime streets of Seoul. No exploding cars. All the climaxes and shit are a result of everything that has come before. And I think probably the biggest deal is that it unapologetically doesn't give you the moment you want. Like, the thing that makes it pure suspenseful is that there'll be like a brutal killing of some poor woman happening in a small building right next to where the police are. And normally it'd be like, oh, they're right outside, they're going to stop it just to, and they just doesn't give you that moment. And you're sitting there, you're frustrated the whole time. And it happens over and over and over. And I remember it bothering me more and more and more each time. And that's why I was impressed by it. So
I think you just nailed why this film would never come near this list for me.
Why?
I found it more frustrating than I did suspenseful.
Though
it has one particularly great scene.
Yes. And I don't know, man. But like the thing is, well, I guess the reason that it stuck out for me is that if it's thrilling, but it's really disturbing me, for some reason, this one didn't turn me off. Like, I ended up impressed.
Yeah, that's also odd.
Yeah, I ended up impressed. So usually, I don't know. I can't understand why this is my number one. But if you haven't seen it, I think it's on Netflix. Chaser? Maybe
don't,
not.
Don't know. Anyway, not anymore. Korean not in Australia anyway.
Yeah, worth a look if you like that sort of thing. So, yeah, my number one.
All right. Well, you didn't give us your recap, so how about you do that now?
Sorry.
This is too quick.
That's right.
That's what she said.
10 was The Descent. 9, The Hateful Eight. 8, Inception. 7, Gravity. 6, A Quiet Place. 5, Sicario. 4, Hotel Mumbai. 3, Running Scared.
Take it back!
Suck a dick. 2, Prisoners. And 1 was Goddamn The Chaser.
That is really so shocking.
It. Totally down with it. I know. It's a surprise, this list, because my list does surprises sometimes.
It does. All right. Well, my 10 through 2, and then no surprise, my number 1, if you've been playing along at home. My 10 is Prisoners. 9, Martyrs. 8, Memento. 7, Gravity. 6, 7, 5, the first double-worded title, Hotel Mumbai. 4, The Game. 3, the most wordy, The Sixth Sense.
Yeah,
number 2, huge. The Thing. And my number 1 is, of course, A Quiet Place.
Number 1, Cracker!
Yeah, man.
Wow!
When can... And here's my basic argument for why it should be and is my number 1.
Yeah.
When have... And you didn't see this in cinema. So that's why it's lower on your list. That's why I sort of worked out there and I stopped giving you a hard time. Apart from the fact I get to say, no.
We all got a hard time for that.
Hey, if that gets you off, that's all your business. No, it's the cinema I was in. People were so invested in not making noise. It became that much a part of the viewing experience.
That is pretty cool.
That it was rectum clenching on its own.
Yes.
Like there was some dude whose phone went off. I've told this story. It was the opening night of the football season last year. And obviously he just pressed the wrong button or whatever else. And suddenly Bruce McAvaney's voice was like, oh, off a step, he's kicked that. And he's like, oh, fucking fumbling for his phone. And everyone's shooting daggers at this guy. And he's just sinking lower in his seat.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. And I hear other stories about people not, you know, buying their popcorn, whatever, and being too afraid to chew it. You know, too loudly to annoy the people next to them.
You know what? There's no doubt that that's going to make it a better experience. Yeah, no doubt.
As we've discussed before, going to a cinema with a crowd of people who are into a movie, there's no better movie watching experience, I don't think.
Cool.
Unless it's a porn, in which case, probably not so cool.
Also, less quiet. Although kind of quiet if you're in your mom's house.
That is it. That are our list of rectum clenching, anal clenching.
Balloon knot butthole.
Suspenseful films. What did you think? What did we miss? Did we catch your favorite or did we miss? You can let us know.
There will be tons channels that we missed because
might as well just do the how do people get in contact with us now, and then we can do some honorable mentions, and then we can do the pop 10.
Sure. You all can find us by Googling The Countdown Movie and TV Reviews. We're on Facebook, all that sort of shit. Or you can send us an email at thecountdownpodcast@gmail.com.
We're on Twitter at The Countdown PC. Similar, I think, on Instagram, though we rarely use it.
Yeah, we'll get there.
You can check us out on the Podbean app and our Australian website where we host with our good friends Comic Confidential, ccradio.com.au. Check us out there and indeed all the other great shows in the network. Believe, Comic Confidential and Potterheads.
Yo.
All right then. Wayne, your honorable mentions please for this list.
Good God.
You might need to narrow it to 4 or 5.
Yeah, I'm going to narrow it down. Inglourious Basterds.
Yeah, okay.
You know, because all that shit. Cube. Game. There's the game.
Fell off my list. Don't know how. Well, because you put it there.
Yeah. Shutter Island. And there's a movie called Deadly Pursuit that happened in 1988.
Tom Berenger and Sidney Poitier.
Remember that movie with the fucking mountain and shit? And Kirstie Alley was
Kirstie
in
Alley,
shit?
Back when she was hot.
I fucking loved that movie.
In that brief window.
Totally. But she was great. And it was a great movie. If you like schlock 90s bullshit action, fucking fantastic. I'm kidding.
All right. I had just two. I narrowed it down to Hereditary.
That almost made my list.
Yeah. And The Strangers from 2008.
What's that?
It is a home invasion film starring Liv Tyler and Scott Speedman.
Oh, really? Mm. Okay, cool. Mm.
All right. That's it for our list. What about yours? We wrap up every episode of the show with a segment we call the Pop 10.
Talk about
Pop 10.
Talk about
off this week's Pop 10 with Philip Wilson. He had 3, obviously, which is what we asked for from all the contributors. 7, Shutter Island, there you go, mentioned right there, and Prisoners. So there's first 3 that came on. Then actually changed it. Ah, hang on, if Annihilation counts, get rid of Prisoners, I'll put that one in instead.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Adam Miller.
You just can't stop today.
It's probably Adam Miller. Adam is the newest patron to our Patreon.
What up, A to the M?
You can check us out on the links in the show notes if you want to hear a whole bunch of extra content. Thank you so much, Adam, for your support and indeed all the other patrons we have for the show.
Y'all rock.
Shutter Island, again mentioned. The Texas Chainsaw Massacre, the original, of course, and Get Out. He said the last half of Get Out had me holding all the shit in.
Good one.
Stephen Croon, Sicario, there you go.
Woo.
The Thing for me. And then Rear Window / Vertigo. It's too hard to choose between them. That's interesting. Have you seen both Rear Window and Vertigo?
You know what? I saw Rear Window in class, in English class, back in the Dizay, and Vertigo, I don't believe I've ever seen.
I saw Vertigo and Rear Window this year for the first time.
What do you think?
It's interesting. He can't separate them out. I guess they both star Jimmy Stewart, but I found Vertigo to be infinitely superior. I thought Rear Window was this really long and boring exercise in futility until the last 20 minutes of the film. And then, and he also treats his wife, his girlfriend, like garbage through the whole movie. And I know it's a product of its time.
But he's the protagonist? It's tough for that shit to have to come over now, man.
Yeah. Obviously, what was cool in the 50s, not so cool. I think Rear Window's 54, 56.
Even what was cool in the 80s is not cool now, man.
Yeah.
90s, fuck it.
As we will find out on a future topic of the show. Thank you for that, though, Stephen. Billy Dunham, of course, good friend of the show, patron of the show. From the We Watch the Thing podcast. Do check out those boys. They do a great short form review podcast. Number 3, Misery.
Oh, yeah.
Got a lot of love around here of late. Number 2, Silence of the Lambs, which was the GIF I chose to go with on Twitter.
I was wondering why it wasn't on any of our lists.
I rewatched that movie a few years back for the show. I didn't love it.
If it was the night goggle scene at the end.
Oh, scene wise.
If it was a scene, absolutely. That was on my list if we were doing a scene.
And number 1 for Billy, Gone Baby Gone.
I haven't seen it. Do you recommend that I do?
Yeah, sure. I thought it's a good film. I'm surprised that it rates so highly for Billy in terms of suspensibility.
Mm-hmm.
But perhaps he can let us know why.
Nice.
David Power, another high-level patron to know, good friend. said Wages of Fear. For sure. I had zero fingernails left by the end of that movie.
Now, have you seen this?
Yep.
Okay, so I read up on it. I actually wanted to watch it before this ran out of time. It's about dudes transferring or
transporting
nitroglycerin, is
yep.
that right?
Yep, on the back of trucks across unstable African roads.
Wow.
To the place where they need to blow up, where they need to blow up to stop a whatever fire is taking place.
Is it crazy suspenseful?
Look, it's good. And I don't want to disrespect anyone
else. It's from its time.
It is from its time, and it's also 2.5 hours long, and the first hour is all set up and no suspense. So I guess they're saying the last 90 minutes make it worthwhile. But for me, I was like, can we just get to the point?
Really?
And I did enjoy the last hour of the film. But
a lot of film buffs talk about this being the way that it is. So yeah, I'm sure it's...
Same guy directed Diabolique.
Oh, really?
The French original, yeah.
Oh, okay. Something.
The other ones then that he had, and he was very clever the way he would, is like, I'm not counting Seven or Panic Room, much as I love Fincher,
yeah.
and not the Hitchcock classics. What he wound down to were The Strangers, as just mentioned on my honorable mentions, and Deep Red, a Dario Argento film.
Some high class shit. I don't know that one.
Is Dario Argento high class?
Well, it's just stuff I haven't done. Sounds foreign.
From the Royally Rumbled podcast on Twitter, this was tough. Mm. Number 3, The Prestige. I thought might make your list.
To me, it's just pure wonderful. So it's superseded, suspenseful.
Superseded?
Yeah, superseded.
Yep. Memento at 2 and 7 at number 1. Two Girls on a Bench podcast. Number 3, Rear Window. There it is, 54.
Hmm.
Two Signs. The M. Night Shyamalan.
Oh, yeah, that could have gone on my list.
Number 1, Get Out.
Mm. Satisfying rather than suspenseful, but I liked it better.
Go Watch a Movie podcast. Kelvin from that show, Enemy of the State with Will Smith.
I love that movie. I love that
there
film.
There you go. The original Girl with the Dragon Tattoo. I did clarify with him. He confirmed that. And Get Out, if it counts. Of course Get Out counts. Why wouldn't
it? Sure it does.
Wes from the Via VHS podcast. Congratulations to Wes and his wife on their new baby, which has come along into the world in the last couple of months.
Woo!
Other than the film reference in the GIF, i.e. Silence of the Lambs, he had No Country for Old Men.
I hate that film.
Which staggers me.
Hate it.
I look forward to your vote, Wes. Prisoners and The Fugitive.
But we love The Fugitive, man. Tommy Lee Jones, son.
Don't try and repair the damage now, Wayne.
Bitch, please.
What Were They Thinking podcast? Oh, God, so many. But he's gone with Silence of the Lambs, Seven, and Gone Girl.
I love Gone Girl. I think I'm mixing suspense and excitement a bit. But anyway, go on.
Shaken Not Nerds, Duty, again, mentioned at the top of the show for guesting last week on the main review. Number 3, Alien. Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
Number 2, the original Halloween, not that 2018 bullcrap. You can hear my thoughts on that in that episode. And number 1, as it almost always is for Duty, Hot Fuzz. Yeah. I don't know how that's so suspenseful. Jay Giles on Twitter had number 3, Blowout, Brian De Palma classic.
Oh, I thought that one was great.
Silence of the Lambs at 2, and Zodiac, another Fincher film at number 1.
Excellent movie.
Top10mm.com. Had 2 bunches of 3, so I'll just read the first, because he said, I may need a spare rectum. Wait Until Dark with Hepburn, Misery with James Caan and Kathy Bates, and Bone Collector with Denzel and Angelina Jolie.
That's what I know that movie well.
Last 2 then, to wrap it all up. First, so I was also guested this week on the So Wizard podcast, which was a great pleasure to get on there. I've been listening to those guys since I began listening to podcasts. So it was an absolute pleasure to join Joey and Mark Ellis, who was on our show last
year. Yeah.
Great guys. We had a lot of fun. We talked child's play and a lot of geeky, nerdy news. Please check out their latest episode for that. Joey's answer this week, though, number 3, Avengers Infinity War. Like having a panic attack for 2 hours as characters die, you don't know who's going to make it to the next movie. Good call. Number 2, The Raid Redemption, or The Raid as we call it here. Mm-hmm. They're trapped in a tower, and how the hell are they going to get out alive? The action never stops as characters die left and right.
True.
And number 1, The Strangers, again mentioned. How the hell are they going to get out of the situation they're in? Why are these people doing this? Scary as fuck.
Okay.
And finally, for Movie Geek and Proud, Panic Room, The Sixth Sense, and The Game as their last choice. Thank you so much, everyone who gets back to us. Sorry we can't get through all of the responses to the tweets and on our Facebook community. We really, truly do appreciate all your contributions to the show. And that is it. We've already done the how you get back in touch with us thing. Straight into the ending of the show, Wayne. Do I need to use the elevator music? What's happening next week? On the countdown.
You most definitely do need to use the elevator music. I got it here. The top 10 guilty pleasure TV shows is kind of what, I think that's what we're going to call
it. That's exactly what we're going to call it. And that comes from patron, top level patron of the show, Jordy Davidson. He said, how about you talk about some TV? How about you talk about some TV that you are guiltily pleasurable
about? Oh man,
about?
I got so much of this shit. The comfort TV I put on when I don't want to think, which is all the time, and all that shit.
You might
shit.
Be able to tell.
Yeah, yeah. I think you'll enjoy this one, folks. I think it's going to be great. Nice work, Jordy.
Yeah, great choice from Jordy. Thank you so much. And if you want to be a top-level patron to the show, again, check out the link in the show notes and follow the prompts there to check out what it takes to pick a topic for us every 6 months of the show.
Just so you know, the level for the director-owned show
was
locked.
Yeah, I have opened it up now.
But it's now open again. We had,
I hadn't realized we'd capped it, but we had, and we'd filled our cap. So we've opened it up a bit wider.
Yeah, you want to bump it up? We'd love to have you.
Great. And that is it for this week's episode of The Countdown, episode 222 of The Countdown Movie and TV Reviews podcast. It's been a pleasure. Wayne.
Hello.
I think the word there was goodbye.
Oh. No, we're doing the My Name is Wayne thing, are we?
Goodbye. Brilliant.
You can't handle the truth.
What? That is the soundboard. We will catch you.
Is that how it's going to end? All right, fuck it. Yeah, folks, word to your mother. I'm out. My name's Wayne.
Jeez.